You may be seated. We're going to talk about keep going and growing in faith. Keep going and growing in faith. Mark 11, 22 through 24 has been our theme text for the series this month, so we'll continue there. So Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, he wouldn't have said to have it if it was impossible for you to have it. He wouldn't have said have it unless he knew you needed it. Everybody say, have faith in God. So have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God, several renderings says. For surely I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And so we said these verses outline very powerful principles of the law of faith that we need every day and in every way in the season and hour which we live. And we said there's two vitally important things we should monitor and ensure that we're constantly growing and developing in our love walk and our faith walk. And so we're talking about keep going and growing in faith. So our faith must continue to grow and develop. When our faith grows and develops, three things occur. We said there's Satan's dominion over us wanes. Satan's dominion over us wanes. Secondly, circumstances become less formidable. And then number three, fear is destroyed. And so we've covered these things before. I'll just kind of quick review. So our faith grows by two things, feeding it and exercising it. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So everyone should be hearing faith food. Amen. And so think about it. You eat food with your mouth, you feed your faith with your ears. You feed your heart, your faith production center, with your ears. So you should be hearing faith-filled messages, faith-filled words, faith food, which is the Bible, the Word of God. The Word of God is faith food. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So how's your hearing? It has been said that the door to the supernatural swings on two hinges. Those two hinges are believing and speaking. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe, and therefore speak. So the spirit of faith, hallelujah, the believing part of it is the attitude of faith. We said the attitude of faith is an attitude of confidence in God and in his word. In other words, confidence in the promiser, God, and the promises, what he has said. And so you have faith and belief in and confidence in who God is and what he has promised. And so the speaking is the essential act of faith. It's like the initial act of faith. It's acting your faith. So you believe, then you speak. So you have to hook up your believer to your speaker. Amen. Amen. Now, a lot of times people say what they see and say what they feel today, but very few hook up their believer to their speaker. That means say what you believe. Amen. Say what you want to see. Say what you're believing to see. That's an act of faith. Speaking your expectations. Speaking your faith. Now, the principles of faith can be taught, like we've taught many a times, many sessions on faith. but the spirit of faith must be caught. The principle of faith gives us a formula of faith, but the spirit of faith ignites the fire of faith. That means that person is just got an attitude and a spirit and an expectancy in their life that they are a believer, not a doubter. Amen. Glory to God. Everybody say, I have the same spirit of faith. Now, as we shared, our faith speaking is to be used to command the subject. Now, if you're keeping up with the Bible reading, yesterday's reading was Luke, where Jesus commanded. We command. Subject is a person, place, or thing. We command the subject. He commanded those unclean spirits. What do you have to do? You have to command those unclean spirits. There's devils always trying to deal and give you difficulty. If you don't believe in the devil, then you need to ask to die and go to heaven, because there is a devil. And you have to deal with him. Well, how do you deal with him? Peter said it this way: you have to resist him steadfast in your faith. How do you resist the devil? With your faith. Now, the devil's idea of resisting you is with fear. He brings little fear thoughts so you can think on them. You can talk about them. He brings a little worry, a little bit of anxiety. He brings in doubt in your brain and tries to get it down into your heart. He brings in unbelief in your experience. Well, you don't really believe that, do you? You don't really believe God can really heal you, do you? And then you start wavering and vacillating back and forth. And so he brings all that stuff. All that stuff is fear-based. All that, all doubt, all fear, all unbelief is fear-dependent, fear-based. So you got to command the subject. So you got to tell fear, get out of here. I refuse to fear. If you don't say it, Jesus said, speak to your mountain. If your mountain is fear, then if you don't speak to fear, then you never move fear out. Your faith has to be strong enough to move your mouth before it will ever be strong enough to move your mountain. I'm afraid I'm going to fail. I'm afraid I'm going to come up short. I'm afraid I'm not going to make it. I'm worried that the people not going to be there. The people not going to show up. I'm not going to get the product out on time, in the work environment. I'm not going to get this done the way it's supposed to be done. That's fear. Fear manifested means your faith gets contaminated. If you tolerate fear, your faith will get contaminated. Fear starts, failure starts. When fear starts, faith stops. Everybody say, command the subject.
Command the subject.
And then confess about the situation. So there's occasions where somebody may ask you, how's it going, brother? How's it going about that situation? What do you say? Everybody should be loaded for bear, because your confession should be on your possession. That means you ought not be caught without possession of your confession. Are you listening to me? That means when you're dealing with a health challenge and people say, well, how's your health situation coming? You say what? You say the same thing, homologia, say the same thing God's word says. You don't say what you think. You don't say what you see. You don't say what you feel. And you say, well, there's this family members just inquiring about me. Well, are you going to talk facts or are you going to talk faith? Because the facts are real. But faith speaks the truth into the facts. And the facts change. Everybody say, confess about the situation. That's where your faith friends comes, because they help you release your faith. Hey, brother, what you saying about? What you saying today? Remember, if you don't say nothing, you don't get nothing. You'll never rise above the level of your confession. Big mouths get big rewards. What you say is what you get, and what you've got is what you said. You can have what you say. Jesus said, whosoever shall have whatsoever he says. Not whatever your boss, whatever your mom, whatever your brother, your sister, your spouse say. It's Jesus said, you have whatever you say. And when you begin to say, you're on your way to a glorious, better, and brighter day. Amen. And then three, you cry to the Savior. There's times where you cry, not boo-hoo crocodile tears, not just in despair, gloom, and agony. You cry for justice. You cry for mercy. We don't realize that Jesus is our advocate with the Father. That means he's our attorney for the defense. Okay, got my tongue right. He's the attorney for, that's a legal term, advocate. Some people say, well, I need a lawyer. You got one. His name is Jesus Christ. See, he has a present day ministry. One is our great high priest, but he's also our advocate with the Father. John 2 says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That means God is the judge. He is the one in the courtroom of heaven, presiding over all cases and all circumstances in your Christian life. So sometimes you need to go up to the courtroom and cry, I need justice. Amen. Amen. I've been legitimately done wrong. God, I'm giving it to your hands. Jesus will be my advocate, my attorney for the defense. Because there is an accuser, there's a prosecuting attorney called the devil. The Bible says he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's an adversary. Greek word is antidikos, which means like a prosecutor, an accuser. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. Well, who can he devour? Those that have no faith, those that are little in faith, those that don't even live by faith. He's devouring you up. Now, this word devour is like a word picture of a hungry lion eating at a zoo. How many have been to the zoo? Now, in Tulsa Zoo, when you ever fly in, they fly their airplanes over the Tulsa Zoo in Oklahoma. And if you fly in late at night, like I had one time, you can hear them. As the plane is descending, you hear the roar of lions. Roar, roar. Why? They're eating the remains of the flesh that's been slabbed out and put in form. They are so happy. They're just yelling and screaming. But the Holy Ghost is teaching us something. That's what the devil does when he's devouring Christians. He's slurping up the remains. He tries to defeat you, where? Usually in the mind. And then he says, another one bites the dust. I can roar because I've now killed this prey. And you know how lions do when they kill their wildebeest or giraffe or zebra, they stand over it and they roar. They said, I've overcome this person. Amen. So sometimes you need to cry for justice or for mercy. When you messed up, blew it, you said, God, I need mercy. You're not crying out of desperation and despair. You're crying in faith. I need this situation to be cleaned up and cured, and only you can fix it, God. Have mercy on me. Somebody say, glory to God. So remember, a true confession is affirming something that we believe. It is testifying to something that we know. It is in witnessing for a truth that we have embraced. Because God has ordained strength to come out of our mouth to stop the enemy of sin, sickness, Satan, and sorrow from defeating you. The confession of your lips has grown out of the faith in your heart will absolutely defeat the adversary in every combat. Everybody say every combat. So let's look at some things that says about your words. So your words have authority. Psalms 91, 1 through 2, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, everybody say, I will say. That means you got to choose to say of the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I trust. I'm looking at my friend here. He drives and travels a lot. When I used to drive and travel a lot, you know, I quote this all the time, every day. Because you're on that road. I mean, no, somebody can come walling into you in 410, I-10, out there on those country roads. Amen. You need to say to the Lord, He is my refuge. I need my angels right there with me. Because when that person's falling asleep behind the wheel, late at night, on the road, don't let them run into me. Praise God. Everybody say of the Lord. Everybody say, say of the Lord. Notice the word say is there. I will say. I choose to say of the Lord. He's my protector. No evil shall befall me. No harm shall come near me. When I was running a restaurant in a bad neighborhood with gangs and crack houses all the way around, I mean, we had to call police 3-4 times a week. Gang fights, blood, guns, people pulling guns up in your drive-through, people carrying big bags of dope trying to deal in your bathroom. How do you get rid of it? You don't get rid of it with this muscle only. I didn't have a concealed carry permit. I couldn't put a gun in my pocket at work. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. And one by one, we shut all those crack houses down. One by one, we got rid of the winos and the drunks. One by one, got the gang members to disperse. So we can run a business with peace and safety. Somebody say, glory to God. See, this is to repel the spirit of fear. See, remember, the devil is the very epitome of the spirit of fear. He gets you afraid. He gets you doubting. He gets you scared. We can't do nothing here. We can't do nothing about this. You enable the Lord to initiate His delivering power in your behalf. Amen. So think about it. How many times do I say of the Lord? It's your authority. It's your words. Are you listening to me? Amen. Say continually. Everybody say continually. Psalms 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad, which favor my righteous cause. Let them say how often? Continually. Everybody say continually. Now, who knows what continually means? Everybody does. I mean, you're saying it all the time. Let the Lord be what? Magnified. How is He magnified? Who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servants? Is He magnified by your defeat? Your disgust? Your struggling, barely getting along? He's magnified by the prosperity of His servants. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. Say continually, let the Lord be magnified through my life. His blessings reflect a good Father on my behalf. Amen. Praise God. And so you have to maintain your confession for your prosperity possession. When everybody else is coming up short, you still coming on strong. Amen. Saying continually, in the face of sensory contradiction and lack and limitation, you say, let the Lord be magnified. Who has pleasure in my prosperity? Hallelujah. Y'all thinking real good? Yes. And then say to these things. Look at Romans 8, 31, 32. What shall we say to these things? Well, if you look up above and below these verses, you see the things that Paul was talking to us about the Holy Spirit. He said, nakedness, famine, pestilence, peril, sword. All bad things. Everybody say bad things. So when bad things happen, when evil comes upon your doorstep, what do you say to it? What do you say to these things? He said, what shall we say to these things that come up in your life? They require your faith response, your faith reply. That means you believe in your heart, you speak with your mouth, you say something to it. You just got a report that your car broke down. It's going to cost you $1,500. What do you say to it? Hallelujah. If God is for us, He tells you what to say. Who can be against us? who did not only spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us, how many things?
All things.
He's going to freely give me all things. Because some people think when a dryer broke down, the whole world is upside down. The washer broke down, the refrigerator broke, went on the brink. Oh, my whole world's upside down. You got to tell everybody. It's not. He didn't say about those things. He said say to these things.
Amen.
And remember we said, when you begin to say, you're on your way. Y'all getting something out of this? So your proper response and reply to evil and destructive things that have happened to you. When they had those California flyers, one of the partners was said in one of the Kenneth Copeland magazines, everybody's that blazing flame came through, they had to get them out in no time, less than an hour. They had to get all their stuff out of there, get out of there, evacuate, flames coming, come blazing through. I mean, very, very, pretty decent neighborhood. Really affluent neighborhood, kind of. And that thing came blazing through, burned everything down. This one couple's house, Christian believers. But she stood over there the next day because they got moved out of the house. And this was like a $350,000 home way back then. This is a few years ago, about a decade ago, $350,000 home. And all that she said, all was left was a Bible and a ceramic cross. House is in the rubble, ruin. She walked up to it, and the Holy Spirit checked her. He said, what you say is very important. And will set in motion what you get and how this thing gets taken care of from this point forward. Amen. And so she stopped and getting ready to cry and say what she felt, but she said what she believed. She released her faith. She said everybody else in the subdivision took over a year to get their insurance settlement settled. They said they had their insurance settlement in less than a month, and they had their house rebuilt in less than a brand new house, a better house. It was a $500,000 home, a dream home. They called it a dream home. Back then, it was a $550,000 home. Dream home built and in there in less than 2 months. Everybody else is still struggling with the insurance. What do you say to these things? What you say is what you get, and what you got is what you said. Now, boldly say, 1 Corinthians 13, 5 through 6, let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with what things that you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor what? Forsake you. Because he said that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Now, how many of you say that? The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear. What can man do to me? When they threaten to get rid of your job, threaten to eliminate your position, threaten to come repossess your possessions, what do you say? Now, some people get wigged out and get afraid. Oh, they're going to shut me down. They're going to shut the business down. They're going to take my car. They're going to do this. We're going to lose the house, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Boldly say. That means you don't keep your mouth as a mouse whisper. Can't barely hear you. No, you boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you're hurting, when you're feeling helpless or hopeless or discontented, you say, the Lord is my helper. See, use your faith-filled words for the release of power. Remember, faith says about itself everything the Word says. You go and find it in the Word, in the Bible, and you say the same thing that God said in His Word. Because faith in God is simply faith in His Word. Now, for this saying, let's look at Mark chapter 7. I'll read that. Mark chapter 7, we see a woman who was a Greek woman. Her faith. And from thence he arose and went to the borders, verse 24, Mark 7:24, and borders of Tyre and Sidon, entered into a house and would not have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. So this woman had her daughter filled with the devil. And she said she heard him and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she brought him, besought Jesus, that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, for this is for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now some of us would have got offended. Jesus, you calling me a dog? And she answered, whew, glory to God, and said, yes, Lord. Now look at every word. She said, Lord, she called him Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumb. In other words, she was honoring Jesus when she called him Lord. I know, but you're Lord over this situation. You're Lord over these demons. You got authority over this situation. And sometimes the dogs eat the crumbs under the children's table. She honored the Lord. And then look at verse 9. And Jesus, and he said to her, for this saying. For this saying, go thy way, the devil has gone out of thy daughter. And when she had first come into her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Isn't that good? Isn't that real good? Now, I was looking for a book, my little book about Tom Brooks, and many of you heard me read about Tom Brooks, but Tom Brooks was an illiterate young man. He had he didn't graduate from high school and couldn't read or write. And I think it referenced that he had only third or fifth grade education, so he couldn't read anything. Well, he went to church one day and he heard the pastor preaching, all things are possible to them that believe. And he got so fired up, gave himself to the Lord, got home, came home, told mama, 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 mama. I'm just paraphrasing the story. I don't have the actual book to read every detail. But he said, mama, the pastor's saying that all things are possible to him that believe. So I believe that I'm going to be able to read and write. Now, what did she do? She tried to talk him out of faith. Yeah. Good old mama said, well, son, you can't read or write. They got the adult literacy classes down at somewhere, YMCA or wherever. They said, you go down there and enroll in there, and in a few weeks, they'll teach you how to read. He said, no, mama, the pastor preached the word. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. So I believe that he'll help me to be able to read. She says, no, you can't read. You don't have education. You're illiterate. What did he do? Well, he said, Mom, I'm going out to the woods back behind the house, and I'm going to stay there until I learn how to read. Well, she said, that's the last time I'm going to see Tom again. So he went out the back door. And, of course, he went out the back door, and he began to just quote what he heard the pastor say. All things are possible. So if all things are possible, I believe I can read. And he's got the Bible staring at it in his hands. He's out there just saying, all things are possible to him that believe. And so he's got the Bible. And in 8 days out there in the woods. See, when you have confidence, when you have faith, you're like a bulldog. You clamp down and you don't let go. Amen. You believe until. Amen? You're not moved by what you see. You're not moved by what you feel. You're moved by what you believe. Yeah. And what you believe is the word of God. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You bite down on it. You hold it. You don't let it go. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so he held on to it. 8 days later, he's walking. He said, all things are possible to believe. He's holding his Bible. He's all things are possible. And he's looking down. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He started reading. I shall not want. He make me lie down green pastures. He leads me to the side of the silver. He ran in the house. He says, Mama, 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 look, I can read. And he began to read the Bible to her. And then he ran around and told everybody, I can read, I can read, I can read. And he began to read the Bible and read the Bible to them, read the Bible to them, read the Bible to him. So he got all fired up for God. And then he heard the next time the God dropped in his heart, Mark 11, 22-24, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So he said, I believe we can move a mountain. He said, it came in his heart, we're going to build a church. He came home again, mama, the pastor said, we can speak to that mountain. And we're going to build a church up on top of that mountain. He said, boy, you crazy. He said, mom, don't do me like that. So he went out. He said, I'm going to the woods again. So he went out. And less than a day, because by the time he went out, somebody came knocking at the door. Because he told his mama, we're going to build a house. We're going to put it on top of that mountain. Build a church, excuse me. Put it on top of that mountain. And they said, somebody came and said, ma'am, we've been mining stuff out of the mountain here. And he said, we got a whole bunch of dirt and stuff like that. We need to fill in. Can we move this mountain behind you and put that dirt in that hole? And then she ran out of the back and said, Tom, they're moving your mountain. So they actually moved this mountain and built the church. Praise God. Amen. Now, here's a guy that couldn't even read, but believe God. And see, we think, well, faith, we got to struggle, we got to strain, we got to work it up. We got to believe, and we got to speak, and we got to act upon the word of God. Everybody say believe. Speak, and act upon the word of God. Now let's look at this. He said, for I surely say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast in the sea, and does not doubt where? In his heart. But believes where? In his heart. The inference is, the implied thing should believe where? In our heart. With the heart, man believe. Romans 10:10. Don't doubt where? In your heart. Believe those things which are said. Therefore I say, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So faith will work with thoughts of doubt in your head, but not in your heart. Don't doubt in your heart. What does it mean to doubt in your heart? To doubt with your spirit. You might have thoughts of doubt that come to your head. Well, I don't know if the money's coming. I don't know if the situation is going to turn around. You don't respond to what you see, think, and feel, because the devil might have input there. You respond to what you believe. You believe your God in your heart. Amen. Thoughts may come, thoughts may persist, but thoughts unuttered die unborn. So the devil might tell you, it looks like you're not going to get your healing this time. And then what do? An act of doubt is, he says, see if you feel better. The two-word if is a badge of doubt. Because you prayed, you believed, you received when you prayed, but then you trying to see if it's working. I'm being very intentional in my words here. If things gonna get better. Well, if is a badge of doubt. Brother Hagin was praying for a guy who's bent all over like this, and he laid hands on him and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Now he told him, see if you can stand up. Well, he couldn't move. He walked away. He said, well, he walked away. And then about three people down the line, he turned around and saw Jesus looking over here right where Lamont is. And he looked over and saw Jesus. And Jesus said, when he looked at Jesus, he said, I said, by his stripes, ye were healed. He said, I know, Lord, but he didn't stand up. Then Jesus raised his voice. I said, by his stripes, you were healed. And I think he said, by my stripes, you were healed. And Brother Hayes looking at him kind of empathetic. He's like, yeah, Lord, I know, but look, he's still bent over. Then he got real loud. I don't think anybody wants to experience Jesus getting real loud, but he can get real loud. He said, I said, by my stripes, you were healed. And he got that real serious look on his face, and then he disappeared. And he said, oh, I got it. And he went back to that guy. He said, sir, come back, because this guy's going back to see. He's still stiff, bent over. He said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And he said, stand up. He said that he got it. That one little word, if, defeated. And the ifs will defeat you. Amen. Shall not doubt where? In his heart. Hallelujah. See, you can't prevent birds from flying over your head, but you can prevent them from building a nest in your hair. The thoughts of doubts may come and persist, but thoughts unuttered die unborn. So if you talk doubt, you're not going to get the doubt out. And to doubt God is to judge God, and to judge him unfaithful, unreliable, and untrustworthy to his word. It's a bad thing. When you eliminate all doubt, you will receive without fail and without delay. Now, that's enough to run around the room with. All I got to do is get a doubt out. Doubt reduces and robs your blessings. We know in Matthew 14, I'm not going to read it because of time, 22, Jesus came walking on the water. And what happened? Peter asked him, Lord, if it's you we're seeing, bid me to come to thee on the water. And Jesus said four letter words, come. So Peter was the only brave soul to get out of the boat and start walking to Jesus. He began to walk on the water, the Bible says, to Jesus. And then what happens? When he saw what? The wind. And he saw the waves that was boisterous. He took his eyes off of Jesus, who is the author and developer of our faith, and he put his eyes on the circumstances. And he began to sink. And we know the Bible says he began to sink. He said, Lord, save me. And the Lord had to reach down and help him. But then he pulled him up, and then he taught him a lesson. He says, Peter, O ye of little faith. He called his faith little. He said, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? So doubt will reduce your faith to a little bit. Amen. When you ask for things, you must ask in faith. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith. Everybody say, ask in faith. Ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Wavering is the word, we get the word, the root word is duo, being double-minded or to be of two minds. It means to vacillate. It means to waver. It means to doubt. So that's what doubting is. I'm vacillating. Well, I believe God in church. Yeah, praise the Lord. Glory to God. We can do this. And then at home, when the devil sits there and says, I dare you. I double dog dare you to believe. And then you say, well, I don't know. You vacillate back and forth. Y'all getting something out of this today? He said nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is driven with the wind and tossed. And he said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. If you doubting, you're not going to get anything from God. Doubt is the thief of God's best blessings. So you got to be without a doubt. You got to get the doubt out. Do you believe God can and God will do it for you? Well, if you doubt, you don't. And the Bible gives us definitions of prayer of faith. I'm going to skip forward. By faith, we reach out and claim and lay hold of what we need. Therefore, we create the reality of our life. The prayer of faith is used to change something or get something. We must realize that things have to be taken in the spiritual realm. So some of us need to get our taker back. That means our believer fixed. If you're a believer, you're a taker. If you're a believer, you're a receiver. Hope's a good waiter, but it's a poor receiver. Hope is waiting until I get to heaven before I receive everything. No, you can receive heaven on earth now, today. Because faith takes, grace makes. And grace makes what faith can take. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this word take or receive, reach out and take them, which means you take by force or you seize with a grip that cannot be shaken loose. Because the devil's not going to let you take healing because he wants to keep you sick. He wants to take it away from you. He doesn't want to take your success on your job. He wants you to take that. He wants to take it away from you. He wants you to get fired. He wants you to get falter. He wants you to fail at work. He doesn't want you to take family peace. Will your family serve God and come to God? He wants to take that away from you. That's why he starts the family feud and the family fussing and the family fights. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Amen. Now let's talk this last little piece here. Go and grow in faith. Just give me a few more minutes. We have a bigger God and a big vision. So God gave us a command to expand, every single one of us. It's going to take faith to do this. Isaiah 54, 22 through 3 says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch them to the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make desolate cities inhabited. The message says, clear lots of your ground of your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope and drive tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. You're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. There's no limit to anyone in this room how far you can go and grow this year. Amen. Now, the Hebrew word in Isaiah 54, to expand, means to expand, to widen, to go beyond, to make more room, to increase capacity, to go further, to occupy new territories, to no limits or no boundaries. Everybody say no limits,
no limits,
no boundaries. Gloria Copeland said it this way, if you're not increasing in faith, you're not doing it right. She also said you got to keep your faith current. That's why we have to give faith refreshers all the time, because you got to keep your faith can get stale. Your faith can get stagnant. Your faith can get into a struggle. Because if it's not now, it's not faith. You can't live off of yesteryear's faith or yesterday's faith. You might have been strong in faith last month, but where are you now? Amen. We all have unlimited faith capacity. How far we go and grow is really up to us. Now, just a little side bit here. Paul was introducing to us by the Holy Spirit a development plan that he gave for the Thessalonian church. That 1 Thessalonians 3, 9, and 10 says, what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy over which you rejoice for your sakes before God, night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now, you might be in this room today and say, well, some areas of my faith need perfecting because I'm lacking in certain areas. Because some people are real strong in job faith. They can work and be very productive on their job and highly successful at it. But when it comes to home and family, they're a basket case. They can't find their way out of a well bucket. Or when it comes to healing, like Keith Moore said, he said, I was teaching healing school every day, 5 days a week, and he said, I was very strong physically and healthy physically, and I was very in shape physically. I was healthy and whole and healed. But he said, I was broke. I couldn't rub two nickels together. His faith was lacking in the financial arena. And like we said, faith works the same in any arena, any sphere, in any realm. So just because you're good in faith in one area doesn't mean you're great in faith in the other areas. Amen. 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 Amplified says it this way, mend or make good whatever is imperfect and lacking in your faith. ESV says, English Standard Version, supply what is lacking to your faith. Fill in the gaps of your faith, New Living Translation. So Paul had a strategic plan to move their faith to the next level. The Holy Spirit and the word that we've been showing you is designed and devoted to fill in the gaps of where your faith is lacking. Amen. Every born-again Christian believer begins with the same measure of faith. Romans 10:12-3, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Their faith was growing exceedingly 2 months after Paul had wrote this letter and wrote 1 Thessalonians 3:9-10. There's the difference between 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians, and 2 Thessalonians is 2 months. Everybody say 2 months.
2 months.
So 2 months, they begin to grow. Because look at 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we are bound to give thanks God always for you, brethren, as is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. And the love for everyone of all of you abounds toward each other. So we all should be diligent and determined to have ever-increasing faith and abounding love. Everybody say, increasing faith,
and abounding love.
Now, I'm saying this by the Spirit. I'm trying to say this as serious as I can. Everyone here has an assignment on their life, individually, and corporately we have an assignment as a church. But if you don't grow in faith, you're going to become a liability. Now, Paul calls it shipwreck in your faith. Shipwrecked. That means you're on a junk heap. That means you can't use it anymore. It's junk. So you need to receive supply of what's lacking in your faith. Because God has things for you to believe and to receive from him during this season, particularly summer season and fall season, to finish what he has for you this year. Don't get behind schedule. Amen. Our faith should be growing and can grow exceedingly. It took the Thessalonian church 2 months to go from lacking faith to faith growing exceedingly. You and I can do the same thing. You could be running at all cylinders, I'm speaking still by the Spirit of God, by the end of July, if you get after it. Amen. That's why we got some of the book reading, summer reading, because some of you need to really immerse yourself in the word and in study of the word to grow your faith. It's not for just your personal aggrandizement or your personal pleasure. It is for the purpose of God. Amen. He needs you to be at a certain place so that we all collectively get to a certain place. Amen. Because as well as our love can abound in our hearts toward each other, those in our natural family, our extended family, and our spiritual family can abound. Let me close with this. 1 John 5:4-5 says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. He didn't give 15 different checklists, or he didn't give 15 different options for overcoming the world. He said, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. One thing. Whosoever overcomes the world, but he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, the world is sin. I want you to think of it this way. This is the Greek word cosmos, which means anything Satan ever attempts to throw at us. Anything Satan attempts to throw at us. Any ordered system such as a society, culture, government, economics, nature, and even science. Faith is your victory to overcome everything. Overcome is where we get the Greek word Nikos, where they get the English, or the word now, most people wear them, Nikes. It's where the word Nikos comes from, or Nikes come from. It means to conquer. It means to carry off the victory. By faith, every situation you will carry off as a victor, not a victim. Praise God. Hallelujah. It means to come off victorious. Because, see, the devil excels at lying and deceiving, but we have to excel in the Word of God, in believing, speaking, and acting upon the Word of God to keep things straight. Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For surely I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says, and whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you will have them. Faith bites down and won't let go. Faith has an aggressive nature, a flaming fire, and a fixed focus. Your life can depend on what you do with your faith. It says, glory, Copeland. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.